Chapter 42. Kovac walked out of the den and up the stairs, leaving Logan to deal with David Moore. As soon as Moore invoked his right to counsel, that was it. The interview was over from Kovac's point of view. Anything incriminating Moore might say, if he was stupid enough to say anything at all, would be argued to be out of bounds by his attorney, and any evidence against him discovered as a result of such a statement would be out as well. Despite Liska's statement to the contrary, Kovac wasn't stupid enough to push that line, as badly as he wanted to beat an admission of guilt out of Carrie's husband. He turned and walked away. The crime scene team had finished processing the nanny's bedroom. Kovac stood at the open door for a moment, looking in, trying to imagine what had gone on here. The bed, which looked as if no one had slept in it, had been stripped and the sheets taken away to be processed for fibers and bodily fluids. The carpet had been recently vacuumed. A lot could have happened here between the time of Kovac's last conversation with Carrie and the time the nanny's car had pulled out of the driveway that morning. He couldn't help but imagine the possibilities. He'd dealt with too many violent crimes and too many violent criminals. There had been no obvious signs of blood or semen in either bed, but murder could be committed without bloodshed. A rape could be concealed with a condom. If David Moore had hired out the apparent kidnapping, returning the victim wasn't part of the deal. His objective was presumably to get rid of his wife, get her out of his way, and get his hands on her money. And as soon as the job had been handed over to the contractor, whatever else happened was out of Moore's control. Carrie and the nanny, provided the nanny wasn't part of the scheme, would have been entirely at the mercy of a cold-blooded killer. Kovac stepped into the room, pulled on a pair of latex gloves, and started poking around for any sign that the Swedish girl might have had an inappropriate connection to her employer. The dresser was clutter-free, a small lamp on either end, a jewelry box. He lifted the lid, a couple of necklaces, earrings, nothing expensive. Three small framed photographs, smudged with fingerprint dust, sat on the nightstand beside the bed. Anka and a couple of friends on a hiking trip. Anka and her family, half a dozen identical blonde Swedes of various ages from teens to 50s. Lucy Moore and Anka, bundled in winter coats, beaming smiles, kneeling beside a snowman. David Moore crouched down behind them, one hand resting on Anka Jorgensen's shoulder. Happy family. There were no photographs of the nanny with Carrie Moore. The drawer of the nightstand held the kinds of things women everywhere kept in their nightstands. A nail file, hand lotion, lip balm, a couple of pens, an address book, a journal. Kovac lifted the journal and opened the cover, half expecting to read, "Dear Diary, I think I'm in love with David Moore." What he found was a whole lot of Swedish. The big revelation, if there was to be one, would have to wait until they could get someone to translate. Luckily, in a state full of Scandinavian descendants, that wouldn't take very long. Small comfort, he thought, considering they had no idea how much time they had. It could already be too late. He went to the closet and opened the door, looking for obvious signs that the nanny had packed a bag before she vanished. But there was no telltale block of empty hangers. The closet was neat as a pin. A roll-on suitcase and a duffel bag were tucked into one corner. Kovac closed the door, turned around, and surveyed the room again. No one had left this room in a hurry. No one had been forced to leave this room. No struggle had taken place here. Years before, when he was new to homicide, he'd come across a case of a missing woman who was found only after her body had begun to decompose. Her boyfriend had bludgeoned her to death with a claw hammer and stuffed her body under her mother's bed. Kovac carefully lifted the bed skirt and looked. No body. a couple of long plastic storage containers full of shoes and clothes. Down the hall, in Carrie's bedroom, the crime scene unit was going over every square inch, but as with the nanny's room, the carpet had been vacuumed, the linens had been stripped from the bed. If they were lucky, they might find the sheets in the laundry. If not, their bad guy might have taken them to dispose of them, so there would be no chance to get hair, fiber, bodily fluids, to put a name to their perp.